If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to read the first 11 verses from this account from God's Word. Joshua chapter 24, follow along with me in your Bible. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you. And I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the citizens of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorites and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand." This particular reading that we have just looked at this morning is the time when Joshua is near the end of his life and his leadership of Israel. And he has summoned the nation and the leaders to Shechem. And he recounts the history of Israel from the calling of Abraham to that present day. And in recounting their history, he reminds them that God has been the reason and the source of their deliverance and all of their blessings. Brother Doug asked me this morning to participate by recounting to you a brief history of the history of this church, Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Rather than give you the facts and the figures that I could give you, I wanted to remind you of how it has been God who has brought us to this arrival in 2015. Notice that in the same way that He was with Israel, He has also been with us. There are some similarities that I want to bear out. First of all, just as He called Abraham, He called us. In January of 1990, He laid it upon the hearts of 12 individuals who met together, and we discussed the possibility of a new work in the River Valley area that would be an exciting, progressive, spiritually strong church to reach the Russellville area. He called us all from different backgrounds. He called us from different churches at that time. Not only did He call us, but He also gave us a temporary home, just as He gave Israel a temporary home. On March the 4th, 1990, Victory held her first Sunday morning services just down the road in the old Shaw's restaurant, which was our temporary home. Just out of curiosity, if you were there for that very first service in March 1990, would you just stand? There's just a handful left. Thank you. We took that restaurant that had been Shaw's Restaurant, if you remember the history of Russellville. We cleaned that thing up, polished it up. It was nasty. It had been vacant for quite some time. Jerry Wittenberg and Steve Long led out in a plan to divide some of that up for some classrooms, and they framed it, and we sheetrocked it, and by the time we were done, we made it into a pretty respectable place to have our services. but it was a temporary facility. Because just as God gave us the temporary home, just like Israel, He also gave us a permanent home. Our home that we sit in now, this land, was possessed by others. When we were looking for a place that would be our facilities, the land wasn't even for sale. But God had a plan. And He knew that this is where He wanted Victory Missionary Baptist Church. And we contacted the owner of this land, who had never even given a thought to selling it, and said, "We'd like to purchase some of your property." And God worked it out. I'll not tell you all the details and bore you with the facts, but God worked it out and He gave us a permanent home here on Reasoner Avenue. You know, He also gave Israel water from wells that they did not dig. He did the same thing for us. When we moved into this facility, we didn't have water. We got water from a well that we didn't dig. The gentleman who owns the property here on the corner was very generous. He says, "I've got a well that you can tie into and use all the water you want." He said, "It's not fit to drink." And he was right. It was some nasty water. But it allowed us to flush the commodes and have water, and we just couldn't drink it. It reminded me of the bitter waters of Marah. So shortly after that, God said, I need my people there at Victory to have good water. And it just so happens that the city of Russellville was in a predicament where they needed to complete a loop in their water system that came right down Reasoner Lane. And through a cost-sharing agreement, we were able to get fresh water that we enjoy today. God provided us water. He has led us through some changes in leadership. Moses led God's children up out of Egypt. But Moses would not lead them into the promised land. Joshua would do that. And here we have the end of Joshua's life, and his leadership would pass. God has led us through changes in leadership. There have been four men who have served as pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Each of them at a particular time for a particular purpose. And each one of them left, and there was sadness upon their departure, but God brought the next person along. And guess what? I hate to say this, but if the Lord stays His coming, Brother Doug won't be the last pastor of this church. There will be a time, if the Lord stays His coming, where He'll move Brother Doug somewhere else or call him home. And Victory will still be here, and we'll have another change of leadership. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not who God's man is at the time. We follow Brother Doug's leadership, and we should, but we should keep our eyes upon Jesus. He has given us beautiful facilities, just as He gave Israel the temple. I know that there are some who say this is not a holy place in the same sense as the temple was holy, but let me tell you, this is a sanctuary built for the service of God. We have had four building programs since 1990. Beginning with the first sanctuary, we borrowed about a quarter of $1 million. And now we have facilities that I don't know what the estimated appraisal would be, but I would say it's in excess of $5 or $6 million. And we owe less than $1 million on it. God has provided us a great place on a cold day in January of 2015 to enjoy the services and worship Him in the comfort of this beautiful facility. And I think this facility stands as a testament to what God has done for us. There are a lot of other facts and figures that I could give you, but I want you to understand that God has been with us every step of the way. And in 2015, as we prepare to look to the future, we must always remember, may we never forget, where we've come from and who it is that has brought us thus far. Thank you.
Are you excited to be here this morning?
Amen.
You sound very excited. I'm overwhelmed. Are you excited to be here this morning? Amen. Do you want to celebrate God's goodness?
Amen.
Do you want to celebrate God's goodness?
Amen.
Some of you want to celebrate. Some of you just want to take a nap. Amen. All right. My part of this session this morning from Joshua chapter 24 is to kind of give you an overview of where we are as a church. So what I want to do is I just want to speak to you for just a few minutes about where we are as Victory. So let's think about it. I'm going to give you a lot of statistics and figures. Brother Greg didn't want to do all that, but I'm going to do all that because I think it's pretty interesting. Where we are outside our walls. Let me read you some stats. In the last year and a half or so, we've hung 8,000 to 10,000 door hangers around Russellville, Arkansas. That's thanks largely in part to our outreach director, Brother Ken Worthy, and his band of merry men that help him. 8,000 to 10,000, and ladies, sorry, 8,000 to 10,000 door hangers. We're helping serve meals at Main Street Mission on the first Wednesday of every month, reaching out to help those who are hungry in our community. We've sent out a missionary from our church. His name is?
Ben Hightower.
Ben Hightower, and he is in?
Columbia, Missouri.
And we're taking mission trips each month, well, except for this month because it snowed us out, Brother Ken. That was again, Brother Ken, this weekend. But anyway, we're taking mission trips each month, the first Sunday of the month, to help Brother Ben get the word out, hang door hangers, invite people to church, and help him with his worship service. It's exciting stuff. We send monthly support to another 10 missionaries and ministry projects around our community and state and nation and internationally as well. Gospel tracts are being placed throughout our state and throughout the United States through the Isaiah 55:11 project, another wonderful outreach ministry from our outreach director. The needy are being helped through several organizations and ministries in town that we financially support as a church, such as the Help Network and Choices Pregnancy Resource Clinic. Word is getting out that Victory is a loving, compassionate church in the community of Russellville. So that's where we are kind of in a nutshell, outside of our walls. Let's look at Victory inside our walls. The last few months, last year or so, where are we? Bible study attendance on Sunday morning is up. In the last year, we've broken our Sunday morning Bible study record, what, Brother Ken, five times or so-ish, something like that. Worship attendance is up. Offerings are up. Most of our ministries at least are holding their own, if not increasing, in attendance. People genuinely seem happy to be at church, right?
Yeah.
At least the ones who are here genuinely seem happy. If they're not here, we don't know if they're happy or not, but those of you who are here genuinely seem like you want to be here, so that's good. We've had many families that have been strengthened in the past year. We've had marriages that have been saved in the past year. We've had many children who have been saved and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and have been baptized in the past year. Amen. That ought to get an amen.
Amen.
Somebody's going to amen it. In the last 2 years, think about this. In the last 2 years, some 150 individuals have joined this church. In the last 2 years, through statement or baptism. So on paper, those statistics look really, really good. Amen? They really do. I tell you what, I want to take a poll. Brother Greg took a poll, so I want to take a poll too. If you have come to Victory and joined this church in the last 2 years, would you stand up? Go ahead, stand up. If you've come in the last 2 years, would you stand up? Look at that. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. It's fair to say that Victory looks very different from what it did just a few short years ago. So, to whom or to what do we owe our gratitude for all these wonderful things that are happening? It's God. Make no mistake, it is not us that's done any of this. It's our Lord and Savior, Him, Jesus Christ, and His Father, God the Father. Let me give you one verse of Scripture from Joshua chapter 24. Verse 13, just listen to this. God says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor. And I've given you cities which you did not build. And you dwell in them. And you eat of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. You know, it's very easy to get complacent when good things are going on all around the church, isn't it? It's especially easy Listen to me. It's especially easy to come into a church where everything seems to be functioning really well as a new person and slide into a pew and just sit there and coast. Sometimes for years. Just coast. Or on the flip side of that, maybe you've been here for the last 20 years and you look at your past level of service. You look at your past functions that you have performed, that duties you've fulfilled at this church, and you look at all the new people sitting around you and you think, you know what, I've done my time. I'm done. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to do. In either case, you pull up a chair to the table and you feast on God's goodness, never having considered how much better it could have been had you helped. Is that where you're at? Is that where you're at this morning? Let me get real personal. Make some mental notes. Think about your life for the last few months. Your life individually. Kids, adults, parents, grandparents. Think about your life and answer these questions. How's your prayer life? In the last year, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible study time? How's your attention span during worship, during Bible study class? Kids, how's your attention span? How's your giving and your tithing? How is your service? How are you giving back for what God's given you? How's your witness in this community? How's your testimony? How's your family walking with the Lord? And what are you doing to contribute to that and to make it better? Kids, talking to you too. What are you doing to contribute to your family's dedication to your God? What sacrifices are you making to further God's kingdom, to be His hands and feet every day? Guys, my fear is that we look around and we see the great blessings that the Lord is pouring out at Victory right now. Make no mistake, man, He is. God is showering down His blessings on this church for the last several years like I've never seen in my 23 years of ministry. Never seen. God is good. But because God is so good, my fear is that we've gotten very comfortable with how things are. You might even say that everything's just about right, just how we want it. Not too hot, not too cold. Problem is there's a word for that, right? And it's lukewarm. And according to Revelation chapter 3, that makes God want to vomit. Just being honest. So where are you at? Where do you want to be in 2015? May 2015 be another year of numerical growth. Amen. Sure, I love new people. I love having the opportunity to speak to new people, to minister to new people, to look into the eyes of children who are receiving Christ. I love that. May we see numerical growth. But more importantly than that, may this year, 2015, be a year where we grow spiritually more than we ever have. Because God is blessing more than He ever has. May 2015 be a record-setting year. Amen.
Amen and amen. I am excited about 2015. It is a good day, and I want to share just a couple of things with you. Today we begin our journey. Are you ready to go somewhere? Are you happy sitting in the pew and just kind of chilling out? No. The answer's no. Say real loud, no. Amen. Today we begin our journey to grow. To grow. And this theme, and I'm real hesitant to call it a program because, you know, programs tend to be just some created thing to grab people's attention for a little while and it fades away. And that's not what I'm looking for. Okay? I want to ask you to adopt this theme with me this morning of making grow the theme of our year. Go reach our world. When I say grow, I'm not talking about building buildings. I'm not even talking about some mega church numbers. I am talking about a personal spiritual growth that begins with every individual here. Now, if we're on a kick of spiritual growth, mind you, we'll set the number records and we'll do great things, but it's got to come down to your individual level. The first quarter of this year, we're focusing, starting today, is go. Get up. Get out. Don't soak sour and be satisfied where you are. The second quarter of this year, reach out. Reach our community. Talk to people you've never talked to before. Share Jesus with people you've never shared Jesus with before. Then in the third quarter, we're going to be reminded of our opportunities and our responsibilities that God has placed right here in our lap. Our marriages, our families, our children, our church, our community. Then the last of this year, our focus is going to be world focus. A mission-minded focus to take the gospel throughout the entire world. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That would be awesome. That's where we want to go, but we got to start somewhere. We've got to start. And today, I'm just going to ask you to start with one thing. One thing. Where we're going. That one thing, I'm going to ask you to choose. In the book of Joshua, let's stand up real quick. The book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14. Joshua, as has been shared with you, is coming to the end of his ministry and he's sharing things with the children of Israel. And one of the last things that he shares, he places them in a position, and for lack of a better way to put it, he gets in their face. And he says in verse 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," read this with me, "we will serve the Lord, our Father in heaven. Our goal is to serve you and bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen." Be seated, please. Joshua is putting them in a position to grow, to prosper, to do great things for the Lord. And as has been mentioned, I believe we're in that same position today. But before we are ready to grow, before we're ready to do these great things, we've got to be ready to grow. It doesn't just happen. We have to be ready to grow. And we become ready to grow when we choose. Pretty interesting word, choose. Excuse me. The word choose, we're not talking about choosing an ice cream flavor or a kind of pizza or even an outfit to wear. The word choose literally means to choose your leader, or it's to select your leader. And usually there are several different candidates to choose from. And it carries the idea of examining that leader and deciding which is best for you at this point in your life. Joshua said, "Choose whom you will serve." That word "serve" is also an interesting word in that it was a slavery term. A slavery term that referred to the task that was performed by the lesser person, the slave, for those who were in control of their existence, their master. Make sense? Choose. Examine. Consider all the opportunities that you could make the master of your life. Choose the best one and serve Him. And there are a lot of opportunities. I mean, you can let your work control your existence. You can allow your hobbies to control your existence. You can allow other people, your friends, even your family, to control your existence. But know this, whatever you choose today will control your existence in 2015. Okay? That's where we are. And today, for lack of a better way to put it, I want to get in your face and just ask you, even challenge you, choose today who you will serve. Will you serve your friends who will dictate to you what you wear, how you act, and who you hang out with? Will you serve things like drugs and alcohol that will rob the joy of life from you? Will you serve anything else but God? Choose. Right here, right now. There's no room for straddling the fence. There's no room for lukewarmness. Choose. Make up your mind. Choose. Well, in verse 21, children of Israel, when they were faced with that, they jumped on that church answer. Okay? They even had a church answer back in that day. In verse 21 of the same chapter, Joshua, the people had said, "We choose the Lord." Joshua, you don't choose the Lord. You don't really mean that. Oh, yes, we do. And verse 21, the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." No, we will serve the Lord. I'm all about it. You see the church answer there? When I ask you today to choose, the first thought that comes into your mind is, well, there's no choice. I choose Jesus. Really? Really? You understand, it's more than just choosing a flavor of ice cream or choosing a suit to wear. If you're going to choose Jesus, you're going to have to remove something. And that's what He told the children of Israel. He said, if you're going to choose Jesus, then in verse 23, it says, "Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." Put away, remove, throw out, turn away from. What? Your idols. Your false gods. Now let's... You know, we usually don't want to admit idols, do we, Brother Greg? Oh, no, I have no idols. But let's define what an idol is. The word idol means, or refers to, anything that I would allow to hinder my task for God. That's an idol. Anything that would get in the way from you serving your master is a false god. If it prevents you, it's idolatry. You know, we often say, well, I know I should, fill in the blank, but I don't because, and fill in the blank. I know I should go to church, but Sunday is the only day that I have for me. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it time and time again. That's the only day I have. Well, don't try to take God's day. That's God's day. Find your day another day. What are you doing? You're creating an idol to put before your master. Fill in the blank with your idol. I know I should be singing in the choir, but what's your idol? I know I should be in a Bible study class, but what's your idol? I know I should witness. I know I should pray. I know I should study. I know I should do all these things. But the problem is idols. And what Joshua is saying, listen, it's easy to say, I choose God. But if you mean it, you've got to remove some things out of your life that are keeping you from serving God. I kind of smile and I kind of shake my head at how we allow things just to pull us away from God. We allow sports. We allow hobbies. We allow anything. Well, you know, I'll catch up next Sunday or next week or next year. And next Sunday, next week, next year never gets here. Why? Because whatever you submit to will control your existence. I knew a couple one time who told me they would love to come to church, but every weekend they went to a, I forgot what he put it, the way he put it now, a Coke exhibition where they traded Coke signs and Coke bottles and Coke stuff, memorabilia. You know what his problem was? Coke was his idol. And it controlled him. Joshua's challenge was, get rid of the idols and incline your heart to the Lord. That word incline means to turn your heart. Do you realize loving God is a choice? Okay? We talk about, you know, falling in love. Most of the time when you fall in infatuation. Okay? I want to tell you something. You choose to love. You choose. And we're told, Jesus said the most important commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The idea there is I choose, I make up my mind that I'm going to love the Lord my God so much so that I give Him my life, that I choose Him to control my existence. But you got to remove the idols. What stands between you and a year that glorifies God in 2015. Whatever that is, and you look at me in the balcony and down on the floor, and if you're 10 years old, you look at me right now. Whatever it is that prevents you from serving the Lord is an idol, and you better get rid of it because it will control, consume, and disappoint you. Okay? Get rid of it. And when you do get rid of it, you need a reminder. I love the way, and when you read chapter 24, the last part of chapter 24, Joshua shares, after they've said, oh yes, we will serve the Lord. And verse 26, it says, then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone. Get this. He took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us. And look, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. Joshua took this big rock and he rolled it up under this big tree by the sanctuary, and he said, every time you see that rock, that's going to be a reminder to you that today you chose to make God the God of your life. Today, here's my challenge. We begin our journey to grow. Go reach our world. Say, Brother Doug, where are we going? Doesn't matter. We're not ready for that step yet. Okay? The weeks to come, you'll find out where we're going. But we begin our journey of growing. And if God leads us to the other side of the world, amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's go. Amen. Bless your heart. If He leads us across the street, let's go across the street. Amen. See, there was a time when it scared me to say, God, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lead, Lord, I want to follow. Because there was something in the back of my mind that just said, God, you know, God wants to make me do things I don't want to do. He wants to take my life away from me, and he wants to mess up my life, basically. And it just scared me. What if God calls me to do something I don't want to do? And I've heard people say, what if God were to call me to preach? Let me tell you something about answering God's call. First thing you need to understand, that if God would give His only begotten Son so that you could have eternal life, He's not looking to mess you up. He's looking to fix you up. Okay? He wants your very best. And true, God calls different people to different things. But here's what I can tell you. If God calls you to preach, He's going to put a desire in your heart and a love for the ministry that you can't get rid of, and that's all you're going to want to do. If He calls you to be a missionary on the other side of the world, He's going to put a desire in your heart and a passion for people on the other side of the world that can't be satisfied any other way. And when you answer that call, there will be a joy within you, a satisfaction such as you probably never felt before. Okay? That's why it don't scare me anymore. God wants me to go to Africa. Here we go. Really, Brother Doug? Yeah. Not a big deal. But see, God has not given me the heart and the passion for that. That's how I know. But I do know this. If God wants me to cross the street or cross the country or cross the globe, that's where I want to go. Because I have made up my mind. I want to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's my commitment today. As for me and my house, we choose God. There are many here. There may be some here today who have never chosen God. Never made a commitment to the Lord for salvation. Here, I just want to shoot straight with you, okay? If you don't choose Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I love you, and I love you enough to tell you that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ the Lord. It is not about earning it. It is not about deserving it. It is about throwing yourself upon God's mercy and receiving the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary when He died for you. Okay? Have you chosen Jesus as your Savior? If not, you need to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight, this morning, and you know that you're saved. But you've come to that point that your love for God is not the controlling factor of your existence. As a matter of fact, most often it feels that all you have is fire insurance. You know you're not going to hell, but you're just not going to much anywhere else either. Life's a dead-end street for you. It's because you're torn. You've got idols. You've not chosen Jesus. If we grow, we're going to grow when God's people lay down the idols and say, Jesus, use me for Your honor and for Your glory. Lead me. Wherever You want me to go, that's where I want to go. Whatever You want me to do, Lord, that's what I want to do. And don't let that commitment scare you. The Bible says, greater love is no man than he lay down his life for a friend. That's what Jesus has done for you. He's got your best interest at heart. Okay? Now, right now, I'm asking you, everyone looking at me, choose. Choose. It's no fence straddlers. No next week, no next month, no next year. Today, the first Sunday of January, choose. Who will you serve? Jesus or something else? It's your choice. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to prepare for a verse of invitation. And if you're lost, I want to encourage you right now. Right where you're sitting, pray Ask the Lord to save you. Knowing He is the Son of God who paid for your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. Ask Him right where you are to save you. And now, for those of you who've not didn't do a good job in choosing in 2014, you got sidetracked by other things. Maybe, you know, a sin that really led you astray. I want to ask you, has it worked for you? Have you noticed the emptiness, the lack of satisfaction? Have you noticed that it seems like life doesn't have the joy? The reason it doesn't have the joy is because you're not following the right leader. If you're here today, you're saved right here where you are. I want to challenge you right now. Choose Jesus and tell Him you choose Him. Tell Him you choose Him. And we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. I'm going to give you the opportunity to go public with your decision. If you've asked Jesus to save you, in just a moment I'm going to ask you when we have this invitation to come forward and make that dedication public. And if you this morning have chosen Jesus, I want to ask you to do something else for me. If you would close out your prayer at this point and look at me, I want to tell you what we've done. See, we need a reminder. Joshua had a rock. A rock that every time they passed, they'd be reminded. Oh, I remember that day. That's where I chose God. Well, I'm not going to give you a rock this morning. But we have given you something, designed something that should be a continual reminder. Not just when you walk in here and see the banners. But I'm going to ask you to take this and put it on your wrist. We've got them in adult sizes as well as children's sizes. And if you choose Jesus today, this invitation, there are going to be men lined up on both sides. And they're going to have these. And I'm just going to ask you, would you come down front and get this rock of reminder? Put it on your wrist. Don't take it off. And every time you look at it, this afternoon, you be reminded God has called you to grow and you've chosen God, so I'm going to grow. God has called, and next week, you look at it and you be reminded God has called you to go reach our world, and I'm going to go reach our world because I'm answering the call. Every time you look at it, I want it to be a reference of this day, this morning, January the 4th. 2015, when you chose Jesus. Let's stand. I'll ask the guys to come forward and to prepare. As I said, there are youth sizes as well as adult sizes. And so if you're an adult, you'll need to go to the adult guys. The youth sizes will be on the very ends, okay? And you, will you make your choice public this morning? Father in heaven, we just come to you today to make our choice. Father, I choose you. As for me and my house, Lord, we will serve the Lord. And I pray that this commitment, this choice will be contagious. So that, Lord, truly, the fires of revival would begin to burn this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.